My Lord, you have put your hand on this town. I can see.
All right. Well, that was Abigail Miller. Good song. I Can Go In. A lot of good songs she has. A lot of devotional songs that she sings that are very good for people that, you know, need it at the time. Good songs to reflect on and everything. Let's see who's all on here. Hope you can hear me okay. It looks like I'm coming in loud enough, so I don't think you'll have too much of a problem hearing me today. Looks like we're coming in good. Drop my headphones. Let's see. Who's on here? Andrea was the first on here. And then Hannah. Carl Winter says something's creepy. I don't know what he's talking about. Sylvia, Joe McDonald, Janine Stowe, let's see, Lisa, yep, 2 days, Lisa, then we'll be leaving. Christine Sinclair. Thank you, Christine. I appreciate that. Hope you're doing well. And, that Gabrielle kid. I don't know who that Gabrielle. Oh, Gabriel. Yeah, okay. Okay. Good. Well, we got a few on here. 32 on here so far. Had over 100 on there yesterday. Well, it seems like I caused some trouble yesterday. I had quite a few comments in the comment section. Zanesville, Ohio. I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio this weekend, Chad Goines. Seems like I made some people mad over the pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture teaching that I did, the post-tribulation rapture teaching that I did. From Las Vegas, Marcia Richardson from Las Vegas, Nevada. I had some really crazy comments on the thread. A lot of accusations thrown at me. Apparently, I'm some secret Jesuit that's plotting the destruction of fundamental Christianity. Now, what these people might not tell you is that before Darby came out, the doctrine of immanence was not taught very often. It wasn't accepted very often at all. Men like Spurgeon and other men like that, of the men of the times, they were classic premillennialists, and they were not pre-tribbers that believed in the doctrine of immanence, the doctrine that the imminent return is at any time of the Lord, of the rapture. And anyway, so that caused some upset, some people to get upset with me. I guess I upset the apple cart with that. I haven't talked about the rapture issue for a very long time. But, you know, I don't really have a desire to be super contentious with it, but I couldn't believe how some of the people got kind of upset about that, and I kept asking for verses, and they didn't really give me any. And they still, in their rebuttals, don't really give me any that say that the rapture is pre-trib. So, doesn't matter to me. I mean, if I believe, like Pastor Hoggard said, at the last trump, that's when we're going to be gone. I mean, that's kind of what the Bible shows us. And You know, that's the direction. I don't have it all figured out. I just know that there's nothing in there that points to a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't want to get off on that today too long. Thomas Stanlin, hope you're doing well. Glad to hear that. Glad you're able to come on today. Well, it's a good thing we did this show on Wednesday. I thought, you know, I should just try to give you three broadcasts this week, even though I'm going to be leaving. It's good for me to keep busy before I go, and then be able to take a break for a while. So, you know, that's kind of my thought process behind it, is just to do three, and it's good for me. I'm not really studying for any sermons that I have to do right now, you know, because I'm leaving and I'm going to be taking a break from that for a little while. So figured it wouldn't be bad for me to continue to do another broadcast or so and teach you some things that I've taught on before and that are good things to teach on. And today we're going to deal with this subject here pretty soon. Let me just give you, again, just a reminder, tomorrow will be the last broadcast that I do for about, let's see, that's Wednesday tomorrow's Wednesday the 6th. I won't do another broadcast until probably, let me look at my calendar here. I will not do another broadcast until the 18th. So it will be almost 2 weeks. It'll be almost 2 weeks. It'll be the 18th. So just remember that if I disappear on you for 2 weeks, you'll remember why. And who knows, maybe I'll pop in here and there with a little video to show you where we're at and maybe do something like that. But it'll be almost 2 weeks. That I won't be doing a video. Now I'll be back in town that Saturday before that, but I obviously won't be doing anything like that. I'll just be getting into town and just kind of resting up for Sunday. So anyway, but that's how that's going to go for the week, this week. And then, so tomorrow will be the last broadcast, and then for about 2 weeks, close to 2 weeks. All right. And then after that, we'll be back and ready to get at it again. Amen. But it'll be good to take a break, and it'll be good and healthy for me to get a break and spend some time and focus on my own family. Amen. For a little while, and kind of soak in some nature out there and see some things. It'll be very interesting. Kind of unwind my, let my brain unwind a little bit. Another thing, thank you for all those that gave birthday wishes and everything like that. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for that. Thank you, by the way, you that have donated to the ministry and for the work of the ministry here. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord for that. And we've had some gifts come in, and we're very grateful for that. We thank the Lord for that. So just want to thank you for that. And just remember, not to make it out to Old Paths Baptist Church if you send a check or something to us. And the only reason why is because Old Paths Baptist Church is not a corporation. It's not a 501c3 corporation. It is not a legal entity. And it kind of makes things a little bit harder for us when you do that. But we are not Old Paths does not own any property as a church body. We're not a corporation. We're not a nonprofit organization. We don't have a tax-exempt status number. Our tax exempt number. We don't do any of those things. And sometime I could explain to you, I guess, why, if you haven't heard my videos on it. But we don't do that. So if you PayPal us or whatever, or you send a check or whatever, well, PayPal doesn't matter, but if you send a check or whatever, just try to make it out to me, or you can make it out to a big, long legal name like this long, but it doesn't really matter. It all goes the same place. It all goes to pay the bills and whatever else the Lord provides and for the care and maintenance of the ministry, and which includes my needs and the needs of the church and everything else like that. So, and pray for us. Don't forget to pray for us. We need that. We definitely need your prayers. And, if you write out a check, it's just easier to make it out to me. Otherwise, I can give you a really big, long name, like this long. Because we're set up as a trust instead of as a legal entity, a 501c3, legal entity. We're not a creature of the state. So we have to kind of be careful about all that. Because we don't like government control of things that they're not supposed to have control over, which is the church. Well, there's not very many non-501c3 churches out there. Most of them are 508s that think they're not 501c3s, but they're incorporated through the state. And again, if it's a good church, go there. Just because they're wrong about one thing doesn't mean they're wrong about everything. And if they've got the gospel straight, if they've got the Bible version issue straight, and they're serving the Lord and living for God, then you need to go there, all right? And go to a good church and live for God. All right? But if you can find one local or one around you, that'd be a blessing. I don't want to replace your church, I don't want to replace your church at all. I want to just be a blessing to you. And for those that don't have a church, I'd like to minister to you if you can't find one. There's some people that can't move. There's some people that are in situations that they can't do things. Well, we definitely want to minister and be a blessing to you and help you out there in everything. And I know there's people all over the world that this is the Bible teaching and preaching that they get. So it's important to me that it's done the right way and that you hear the truth. Amen? All right. But I would rather you be in a church somewhere. Absolutely rather you be in a church somewhere. If the Lord would allow that and that you'd find a good one to be in, I would rejoice with you in that. All right. Jacob's on here. I appreciate the prayers and the support and all that the Lord does for us. Now, we're going to come to a topic here. I hope I can get it finished today. I've got an hour and a half here. I started a little bit late here. I got about an hour and 40 minutes. I'll give you 2 hours. But I got about an hour and 40 minutes. I should be able to get through a lot of Bible today. Have your Bibles ready. Get your Bible ready. Amen. You're going to need that. See, I might. Let's see here. I could possibly, probably. There we go. That's a good thing. Now I can. Boy, I almost got this down to a science here. Let's see here. Let me get this out of here. All right. All right. Ugh. There. Let me see here. Whoops, what did I do here? There we go. All right. So, not going to have a lot of video for you today. Unfortunately, you're going to have to look at my ugly mug here. But we'll have a lot of Bible for you here today. We're going to talk about Sabbath keepers. We're going to talk about the Hebrew Roots Movement refuted here. And Saturday or Sunday worship. I think it's important to talk about this subject because the churches and the believers out there are always being attacked by the Hebrew Roots people. They're always attacking the people of God. And they're always trying to tell them that you're not supposed to worship on Sunday. You're supposed to worship on Saturday, the Sabbath. And that's what you're supposed to do. And if you're not, then you're not right with God. And when I see that, I first of all know that they're full of beans or something else, and that they really don't have a basis for what they're talking about. But they do like to talk. They are very good at talking. And they're very good at trying to use intimidating language. They're very good at trying to make you feel like, well, what they're doing is trying to drag you back under the law. They're trying to drag you back under the law and into types and shadows. And they are work salvations. So, you've got men like Michael Rood. You got men like Bill the Schnevelator, cousin to John the Revelator. I'm just kidding, that's a song. But you have Bill the Schnevelator, Bill Schnevelin, who in my opinion is still a witch. Yep. I know, I'm mean, I'm a bad guy, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry, the guy is a witch. I used to read his books, some of his books, and the more that I see, the more that I read in his books, the more dangerous I think that man is. I'm telling you, when you look at his stuff, when you read about what he's doing, when he tells stories of him and his wife sitting in a room and two angelic beings come walking in there, come walking in his room and sit down with him, and he's having a conversation with them. That's weird to me. And he's out in the woods, like, walking around with a big old robe on. Playing peekaboo around trees with his wife in a big old robe out in the woods. If that's not the creepiest, weirdest thing ever. So you have these Hebrew roots people, and they keep wanting to make you, they keep wanting to make you Jews. They want to make you Jews. They want to drag you back under the law and kind of put you into bondage. Well, Paul talked about that bondage. So we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 31 in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 31, we're going to start there. Verse number 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to the nation of Israel. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, ye shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Who? The children of Israel. Now look in verse number 17, because here is the key. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, the Bible says very plainly, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It was a sign to them. Now, the thrust or the foundation of the Hebrew Roots movement, or the Seventh-day Adventists, which we'll talk about maybe tomorrow in their version of the Sabbath, they would have you keep the Sabbath. But the question you have to ask yourself is the Sabbath for New Testament Christians? Is it? Now, I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist, but I do understand dispensations are there. I do understand an old covenant and a new covenant. I do understand that the Gospels, the four Gospels, are between the two books. Hebrews chapter 8, I want you to turn there. There's a verse here that goes along with what I'm trying to teach you here today. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. If the first covenant was enough, then why should there have been sought a place for the second? For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, and saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The Sabbath, the first thing you have to remember is the Sabbath is a sign for the Jew. The Bible says that the Sabbath was a sign between the children of Israel and the Lord. Why? Here's why. Let me show you something. Let's see here. And when the people saw they were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. Why? For the Jews seek a sign. The Jews seek a sign. Now, we are not of the children of Israel or the nation of Israel. We are born again Christians, part of the new covenant, not the old. We are not Hebrew. And I'm going to show you that today. We are not the Hebrew Jewish Israelites. We are the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's who we are. Now, Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. But now, the Bible says the law is the schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. Hebrews 8, 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place been sought for the second. Verse number 9 says in Hebrews 8, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. The Sabbath is a different covenant. It is not the same covenant that we are under. We are under a new covenant, not the old one that they were under. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 22. Verse number 22 through 24. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. What does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. Mount Sinai is where the covenant of the law was given. The Ten Commandments were given in the Exodus. Listen very carefully. Please listen very carefully. That covenant of Mount Sinai was bondage. That's where the law was given. That's where the law was given. Now, please, follow me along here. Try not to be too distracted in your comments, because I'm not going to pay a whole lot of attention to them. By the grace of God, I'm going to teach this through as best I can without being interrupted too much, because it doesn't do any good, because people will throw all kinds of side shots to stop the teaching and preaching of God's word, and that's just what happens. But if you follow the teaching all the way through, all of your questions are going to be answered. Now, Mount Sinai was where the Ten Commandments were given, the law, the Old Covenant. There is not one Bible verse found in the New Testament for a born-again believer in Christ that commands him to keep the Sabbath day. Not one. There is not one. Why? Because it wasn't to him. It's the ceremonial law. It is a picture of Christ. And I'm going to show you it's a picture of Christ. And I'm going to show you that there's people today still trying to grasp back there and live in the shadows. And they're still trying to reach for shadows. They're trying to grab the shadow to get some substance. There ain't no substance in the shadow when that which is perfect came. When Christ came, when his, a body hast thou prepared for me. When Christ came, there is no reason to look for his shadow any longer. He came. The proof is found in the New Testament in many places. So let's start. Romans chapter 13 is a perfect place to start. So let's go there. Romans chapter 13. Verse number 9. By the way, verse number 9. Nine things given. Nine, the number for fruitfulness, right? The number of the fruit of the Spirit. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, right? Kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And as being the other commandment is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of sleep. Nine commandments are listed here, and the tenth is left off. Why is that? In the gist of the commands, that is. Nine commandments are listed here, for the tenth is left off. If the Sabbath was important for the Roman Christians to keep, and it was part of the moral law of God, would he have not told them very plainly to keep the Sabbath day holy? Why did he leave that off? We're told to love one another. And I know there's not, if you count them, it's thou shalt not commit adultery, kill, steal, bear false witness, covet, and if there be any other covenant, is briefly commanded in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, love worketh no ill. Okay, what is the point? The point is that the Sabbath is not mentioned, and why is it not mentioned? Why are all the categories there except the Sabbath of the commands? Why are all of them there except that? I'll tell you why. Because the Sabbath was not important for Rome, because, or for Roman Christians, because it wasn't given to them. It wasn't given to them. The moral law of God. Nine commandments are all. Most of the commandments are listed there. If the Sabbath was important for the Roman Christian to keep, it would have been part of the, and it was part of the moral law. He would have told us. He would have said, "This is part of the moral law." That's what he would have said. He would have said, "This is part of the moral law, and this is what you were to follow." But the category is not there, and why is it not there? Well, it's not there because it wasn't required for the Christians. Christ had already fulfilled that. Christ had already fulfilled that. It wasn't necessary. You're to love the Lord thy God. You're to love your neighbors yourself, right? Very simple. Isn't it? How about Galatians chapter 2? Let's go there. Verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? See, this Hebrew roots thing is not new. It didn't just come about here in the last couple years or 15 years. It didn't just come into popularity. The Judaizers have always been around. They've always been trying to drag people back into the Old Testament, back under the Old Covenant, back under the law, back to control them to make the world Jews. They've always been trying to do that. Look what he says here. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And by the way, let me stop here and say this. For you guys who are on here that think that are trying to tell people that you keep the Sabbath and you keep the law, ha, ha, ha. You are liars. I'm going to say it again for you. You are liars. You do not keep the law of God. Now, I'm telling you what, there's this desire to throw people into bondage and to put them under, it's like the Pharisees did. They want to drive those people back and just chuck them into bondage and put the straps on them and to control them. That's right, no one does but Jesus. You're absolutely right. Jesus kept it. You're absolutely right. So Paul is telling Peter, he said, why do you want them to be Jews? Why compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Why do you try to make the Gentiles become Jews? Was that what the gospel's about? Now I want you to think about it here. Come on now, everybody. Think about it here for a second. Let's think about this. Was the gospel to go forth to make the world Jews? No. It was not. It was to save them by the grace of Almighty God to preach the gospel that Jew and Gentile alike could be in one body, with one mouth and with one mind and one mouth to glorify God in heaven. It was not about the works of the law. Listen, all of your questions that you have, I have an outline this long, this wide, deep and wide, deep and wide. Let me get to it. And all of those questions that they're bringing up, every single one of them is systematically answered through this teaching. All of them. That's why I like this so much. That's why I like this so much. All right, here we go. You ready, kids? Let's keep going. Paul goes on to say to Peter, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh be justified. If I gave you in a nutshell what I believe, I'm going to teach you all the way through this, but Mike brings up a good point. What do I believe? I believe that Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath and Jesus is my rest. I believe that Jesus fulfilled the entire law of God, that Jesus is my righteousness, that Jesus is the righteousness of the saints, that Jesus is the imputed and the imparted righteousness. I believe that Jesus fulfilled everything that pointed to him in the Old Testament. And the Sabbath was a ceremonial law of who Christ is. That's what I believe. Amen. That's what I believe. All right. Why did he withstand Peter to his face? We'll turn to Acts chapter 15. Verse number 6. And the apostles and elders came together for consider this matter. Why? What happened? There had been much disputing. Look at this. The Judaizers were coming in. And even those that were saved were getting perverted. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. They declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Here you go. That they were commanded to keep the law of Moses. Well, what happened? Well, the apostles had to have a meeting because they came from Jerusalem preaching that. They went over to Antioch and preached that and caused a bunch of trouble in Samaria and all over the place. Verse number 13. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this will I return. This I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble them, trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. What does that mean? To lay upon them no greater burden than was necessary. Necessary. Things that not that they were necessary to salvation, but necessary to secure the peace of the churches. Because you had Jews and Gentiles together in the churches. So in order to not defend their Jewish brethren and to have peace in the church and sanctification, they abstained from things that they were used to being a part of when they were Gentiles, and they were lost Gentiles. Therefore, since it appeared to be necessary to enjoin them for the present, they hoped they would not refuse to bear them, and especially since they must own they were burdens and part of the yoke of bondage. Look at verse number 21. It says, For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Moses was read by the Jews in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, listen, troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, You must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. Now look what it says here in the scriptures. Of whom we gave no such commandment. The apostles are saying, we didn't tell those Gentile Christians. We didn't tell them they had to keep the law. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. What was he telling them? He was telling them that, you know what, you don't have to keep the law of God to be in fellowship and to be in a church to be saved or to walk with God in the church. You don't have to keep the ceremonial law of the Jews. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep the Sabbath. You don't have to do those things. Those were given to the Jews. That was the old covenant given to them. Like I said, very plainly, these guys don't keep the law in here. They're just pretenders. They pretend like they keep the law. They pretend like they're Sabbath keepers, and they're liars. They're not. If anybody tells you they're a Sabbath keeper and they keep the Sabbath, they're lying to you. For a number of reasons. Now, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Why were they consoled? Because they were not told they had to be dragged back into the old covenant. That's why. For Moses of old time, and notice the contrast in what James is saying. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Do you see the contrast? You're not under the old covenant because Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him. This was to keep the peace with their Jewish Christian brethren. Right? That's what it was for. That they were able to keep the peace. This, notice he did not say you must keep the Sabbath to keep the peace. No, that's the ceremonial law. He did not say you can't mix your fibers or mix your clothes together. That was a ceremonial law. He said they did not have to keep the law. They were not under such bondage. The Gentile Christians were not under that law, and they never were commanded to keep that. The churches were not commanded to keep those things. Ever. They were never commanded to keep that law. Nothing anywhere in the scriptures states that born-again believers in the Church of the Living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, are told to keep the Sabbath. To observe the Sabbath. Nowhere. And whatever fairy tale the Seventh-day Adventist told you, whatever fairy tale Ellen G. Witch, the mystic Masonic witch from hell, told you, is a lie from the pit of hell. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36 through 40. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Loving the Lord. Now turn to Galatians chapter 4. Verse number 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. The Galatians were observing these days as they had to keep them. They were brought back under the law. And Paul, look, the whole book of Galatians is about grace versus the law. And it's about the fact that here come the Judaizers into the churches of Galatia, into the church of Galatia. And what did they do? They told them, you got to be circumcised or you can't be saved. You got to be circumcised or you're going to die and go to hell. You got to be circumcised. You got to keep the Sabbath. You got to keep the law of God. If you don't keep the law of God, you're not saved. So they were observing days, months, years. They're observing all of these things. They were observing all of these things. Why? Because they were back to the weak and the beggarly elements. Paul said, you're scaring me. I thought you were saved by grace. What happened to you? Why do you believe that you have to do all these things? Who hath bewitched you? And I'm telling you, there is such a bewitching presence to the Hebrew Roots movement. It is very bewitching. Because people think they're of a straighter sect and they're more right with God if they keep the law somehow. If they follow the Jewish law, if they put a robe on their body, if they dress like those Pharisees in those robes and they walk around in that and the phylacteries and all those other things, if they do that, then they're more Jewish. If they keep the feast days, then they're more Hebrew and they're more Christian than Bible-believing Christians that do not observe those days and months and times and years. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he departed thence, he went into their synagogue. The other nine commandments were and are inherently right from the beginning, said one, reflecting God's righteous nature and being naturally a part of man's moral character, who was made in the image of God. Which command, other than the Sabbath, is lower than man, subject to being set aside under certain circumstances? When or under what circumstances can man lawfully commit adultery? Never. Obviously never. Man's life is not above God's holy and moral laws. Yet even a sheep's life is more important than a rigid enforcement of the Sabbath law. Do you find it funny that the SDA try to push, oh, the National Sunday Law is coming, yet they pull people in bondage to worship on the Sabbath, and if you don't, you're taking the mark of the beast? Can I ask you a question? Which one of those is bondage? Which one of those is bondage? They make a law up and say that's the mark of the beast, which we won't talk about today as much because I'll probably bring it to you tomorrow when I'll talk about SDA Sabbath keeping. But think about this. They bring people back into bondage, drag them in the shadows, in the dark, take them into bondage after Christ has already been manifested. Think about this. They pull them back into that and they say, no, you have to keep the Sabbath. Wait a minute. Which one is bondage? Right? Which one is bondage? John chapter 5, verse number 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Uh-oh. Try to stay focused on what we're talking about, guys. Keep it on the Sabbath here. Try to stay focused. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days. I'm going to read that to you again. Colossians chapter 2, 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of any holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. Look at this. But the body is Christ. Look at this. Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. Listen to me, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Which one do you want? Do you want the Sabbath, which is a shadow of things to come, or do you want the body, which is of Christ? Which one? You tell me. Which one is for you? Listen up. Which one is for you? The shadow or the body? But the body is of Christ. Do you want the shadow of it, which is the Sabbath, or do you want the body of it, which is Christ? Which one? Because one says he hasn't come yet. The other one acknowledges his coming. Look what it says there. I'm going to read it to you again in slow motion here. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. I'm not done yet. I'm just getting warmed up. But I'm telling you, there it is right there. There's the substance of the entire argument. You're hanging out back there in shadows in the old covenant, and you're hanging out on pictures. So you gotta have, so some of these Hebrew roots people, listen to me, I'm talking to you, listen up close. Here's the thing. Here's what it is. Okay, they wanna drag you back and say, well, you gotta observe this feast, and you gotta observe this, and you should be observing this, and you need to keep the Sabbath. Why? Christ already came. Why? Why would I be concerned with keeping a type or a shadow? Why wouldn't I just worship Christ? Why would I worship something? Why would I observe something that pictures Christ and not Christ himself? That I'm not commanded to do. And that Christ fulfilled. Because this very plainly states here, again, I'm going to read it to you one more time. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. So, let's think about this for a minute. So, the Sabbath day was a shadow of things to come. Well, yeah, that's why Christ, when he was here on the Sabbath day, was like, I'm here. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You're trying to observe something and ignoring me, and I came. I'm in a body. I'm right here. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm here. You're ignoring the fact that God is with you. Emmanuel, God is with you, is with you. You're ignoring it, and you're trying to worship my shadow when I'm right here. You see that? So why do these men desire to bring you back into the shadows and for you not embrace the substance which is Christ? John 5:18. This is the spirit that these people are of. Now, some of them do it out of ignorance, and I still love you. I'm not mad at you. I'm really not, but I'm not going to let you put God's people in bondage. I'm not going to let you put God's people in bondage. John 5:18. Look at this. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Okay, so that lays down the first part of this teaching. That lays down the first part that nowhere in the scriptures does it say that the Bible believer must observe the Sabbath. Now we move on to the second phase of this teaching. And the second phase of this teaching is the first day of the week. Because that is what is illustrated for the New Testament believer. The first day of the week. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Okay. The first day of the week. Which is Sunday. That's correct. Now Mark chapter 16. Verse number 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Verse number 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. There you go, the first day of the week. You see a pattern here? By the way, let me be very clear with everybody here. I deleted that man's message, and he's not allowed to post on here right now. And I want you to understand something about this. I'm a Bible preacher, and I'm not a debater. I'm not here to debate one little quip things with people that throw little quips. This is an exhaustive and extensive teaching that I'm doing. So I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to debate everyone, every little thing that they want to throw at me. I'm not here to do that, and I'm not going to do that. In fact, when I get trapped into doing that, it really takes away from the teaching too much. And I don't want to do that because that's not very enjoyable for others who really want to learn something. I'm not saying you have to agree with me 100%, but you're not going to argue and subvert and put things on here that are counter to everything I'm teaching. That's not going to happen. This is not a debate forum. People don't come here to listen to me to debate everything. That's not why they come here. And I'm not exalting myself. You have every right to go teach against everything that I'm doing somewhere else. But you don't have a right to subvert people here. You don't get that right. It's my channel. I'm the one that has put work in, that has put work by the grace of God, has put a lot of work into this channel for many years. So that's just the way it goes. I'm not Kent Hovind and all those other. I don't want to debate you. I don't have time to debate you. I have no desire to debate you. None. Zero. All right. Let's see. Where was I? John chapter 20. Now we're going to go to John chapter 20. You're seeing a pattern here. Verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut up where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So the first day of the week. The first day of the week. That's what we see again, a pattern, the first day of the week. That's not an accident, folks. It's not an accident. Acts chapter 20. Verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. A typical Baptist preacher to preach until midnight and never let my people go. Right? And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, it was on the first day of the week. Now, I don't have a problem with Kent Hovind debating. That's not my point. I'm saying that's what Kent does. That's not my ministry. My ministry is not to debate everyone. My ministry is to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God, to edify the saints out there. It's not to debate everyone. There's other able-bodied men that can do that and can argue like that. That's not what God's called me to do. He just hasn't. It's not what God's called me to do. I have no desire to do it. I've learned my lesson the hard way that all that does is drag me down, and all it does is get me in the flesh. When it's endless, nonstop debating. It's not. Some people have the temperament for it. Some people don't. My friend David Ickes will debate you and until your ears fly off your head. Okay? And he's a better man at it than I am. That's not what I'm called to do. And I'm not gonna, there's a certain amount of that discussion of doctrine and things like that that a pastor goes through. But to sit in endless debate, no, that's not me. Somebody else can do that. And I'm not saying they're wrong for doing it. I'm just telling you that's not what I do. I like Ken Hovind's old videos. I've watched a ton of them. I don't like the newer stuff. They're kind of weird. But the old stuff I listen to a lot. But I'm not going to debate people. I'm not interested in that. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. We talked about that the first day of the week. Okay? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 16? Look at this. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. What is that? That's on the first day of the week. So there's a pattern there. There's a pattern there on the first day of the week. Now, it's interesting to me that some of the Sabbath keepers, some of the Sabbath keepers, they ask for verses that speak of the first day of the week anywhere in the Bible, besides what we've already given you. And Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5 through 11 is an interesting section of the scriptures. By a man, J. Mark Martrim made this comment, and it's actually pretty good. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5 through 11. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of the unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you may eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. When you read on to verse number 15, it says, And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a meat offering unto the Lord. So what is that saying there? It's saying the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. This is the Feast of Pentecost. It was the one of the compulsory feasts of Israel. Note, on the day of Pentecost, a Sunday, God's people were commanded to worship. God says, on this same day you shall make a proclamation as well. You're to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is a perpetual statute in all your generations. If you think it's only applying to the ceremonial law, because it starts out about the weekly Sabbath, it is called an appointed time and a holy convocation along with other feast days of Israel. No distinction is made by God between these holy days and the weekly Sabbath. He includes them as being equally holy. This would mean that under the old covenant, the first fruit Sunday and the Pentecost Sunday were as holy and sanctified as Saturday was. If you think this only applies to Israel, that's the point. The Ten Commandment covenant, the Old Covenant, was made with Israel and not with the Gentiles. Was it made with the Gentiles? Listen, think about this. The 7 post resurrection appearances of Christ show that Jesus purposefully chose the first day of the week to meet with his disciples to encourage and to exhort them. The evidence shows that 5 of these appearances occurred on a Sunday, the first day of the week. We do not have a record of what the actual day on which the other 2 appearances were in John 21 and Acts 1. What we can say with accuracy is this: after Jesus resurrected, whenever he met with his disciples and the day is identified, it is not the Sabbath, it is the first day of the week. Matthew 28, 8 through 10. What is that? The first day of the week. Mark 16:9, the first day of the week. John 20:11-18, the first day of the week. The two disciples going to Emmaus. Luke 24:13-33, and Mark 16:12-13. When he appeared to Simon Peter. To the 11 disciples on the evening of the resurrection Sunday, Mark 16, we just went through that. Luke 24:36-44, John 20:19-33. To the 11 disciples 8 days later. Pentecost happened on what? The first day of the week. I mean, we could go through all those scriptures, but I went through a bunch of them already on the first day of the week. Because that's when Jesus appeared to them, was on the first day of the week. So 5 out of those 7 appearances were all mentioned as the first day of the week. None, at no time was the Sabbath day ever mentioned that Jesus appeared to them. After his post-resurrection appearances. Does that mean anything to you? Well, it ought to. Because there's a pattern there. So the next time somebody says, well, Rome invented that, which I'm going to get to, by the way, I'm going to get to next, the historical account of this. If we have time, I'm just going to make time and I'm going to do it. But we'll get to that. But look, the first day of the week. That's the important day that the Lord wanted you to remember for the New Testament church. It's all right there. And don't you find it interesting that the first day of the week, as opposed to the Sabbath, is mentioned? Right, Mike. Absolutely. Those 5 times mentioned. Out of the 7. And God wanted you to know that it was the first day of the week. Because there was a change that took place. What was that change? Christ rose from the dead. Christ fulfilled the law. He rose from the dead. All right. Are you ready for the next bit of evidence? Let's go with the next bit of evidence. Are you ready? Who's got their Bible thinking caps on? Here we go. The 9 moral commands of the 10 commandments are reiterated in the New Testament. How many times? To worship the Lord God only, first commandment, no less than 50 times in the New Testament. Idolatry, the second commandment, condemned 12 times. Excuse me. Profanity, the third commandment, condemned 4 times. Honoring your father and your mother, your parents, 6 times. 6 times. Murder, condemned 6 times. Adultery, the 7th commandment, condemned 12 times. Theft, the 8th commandment, condemned 4 times. False witnesses, the 9th commandment, condemned 4 times. Covetousness, condemned 9 times. When the New Testament lists sins, Sabbath breaking is conspicuously absent. Unless you consider the false accusations of the Jews against Jesus Christ. Jesus did not mention breaking the Sabbath to his disciples, only to answer the false accusations against the Jews, or from the Jews, from the Pharisees. Eighteen sins, but not once is Sabbath breaking mentioned. By the way, in Mark 7, 21 to 22. Look what he says here. Look at this list of sins. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you here with me? I hope you are. I hope you're paying attention. You're getting a lot of Bible dumped on you today. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What's not mentioned there? The Sabbath. Romans chapter 1, 29 to 32. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. 20 sins are listed in there. In Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But not the Sabbath mentioned one time in that list. Now, if the Sabbath was to be kept by the Christian, and if it was connected to the law, then what would happen? What would happen? But it's not there, is it? Why isn't it there? There's 15 sins mentioned there. Why isn't it there? I'll tell you why it's not there. Because it wasn't for us, that's why. Ooh, I think I'm going to get finished with this. Okay. So, that is the Bible argument. That is the Bible argument. And I believe it's a solid one. I believe it lists, it gives scripture in its context. Now for the historical evidence. And I still got a half an hour so I can finish this. I want to give you some historical evidence, because here's the argument that comes up. Well, you got to understand something, that Constantine instituted the Sunday worship, and that's why people worship on Sunday, and before that, nobody did. Nobody did. Well, I hate to break it to you. I just showed you on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week was mentioned 7 times after Christ rose from the dead. That they were gathered together on the first day of the week. So, yeah, they did. They broke bread on the first day of the week. And when they came together, on the first day of the week. Right? Now the historical evidence, which is not Bible, and I don't claim for it to be. But since you brought up a not, since the Hebrew root or tutors bring up a non-biblical source as Constantine, I have to counter that with another historical record then. Okay? To prove that it's not. So, here we go. Many Seventh-day Adventists and Hebrew roots people teach that the Sabbath was changed by Rome, and that is why we meet on the first day of the week. The sun god. Someone could say, you worship on Saturday. So do you worship Saturn then? Or how does that work? By the way, that's not a good argument. Well, you worship on this day, so you're worshiping this god. That's what you're doing. Well, Jesus met with them on the first day of the week. Paul broke bread with them on the first day of the week when they came together to break bread. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. But in case that's not enough for you, we'll go on. The Epistle of Ignatius from AD 107. Be not deceived with strange doctrines, nor with old fables which are unprofitable. For if we still live according to the Jewish law, we acknowledge that we have not received grace. If therefore those who were brought up into the ancient order of things have come to the possession of a new hope, no longer observing the Sabbath, but living in the observance of the Lord's day, on which also our life has sprung up again by him and by his death. So there's one resource that, by the way, that's AD 107. Constantine came 313. So that's before it, in case you have a problem with the math. That's before it, okay? The writings of Justin Martyr, AD 145 to 150. And on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together into one place, and the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read. But Sunday is the day on which we all hold a common assembly, because it is the first day of the week on which God made the world, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead. Apostolic Constitutions, Church Life in the Second Century. On the day of the resurrection of the Lord, that is, the Lord's day, assemble yourselves together without fail, giving thanks to God and praising him for those mercies God had bestowed upon you through Christ. Irenaeus, 155 to 202 A.D. The mystery of the Lord's resurrection may not be celebrated on any other day than the Lord's day, and on this alone should we observe the breaking off of the Paschal feast. Well, no. That word ties us into the Easter teaching that I did, the Paschal Lamb. Woohoo! There you go. Okay, anyway, we'll keep going. So who changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? Was it the Roman Catholic Church? In light of the quotes we just read and the times they were written, all of these are written prior to the creation of the Catholic Church. In 318 AD by Constantine, it is apparent that the Catholic Church did not first initiate Sunday worship. Well, it's apparent from the scriptures they didn't. How about Pliny's letter? Pliny's letter, AD 107. Pliny was the governor of Bithynia in Asia Minor from AD 106 to 108. He wrote in AD 107 to Trajan, the emperor, concerning the Christians. This is what he said of them. They were wont to meet together on a stated day before it was light, and sing among themselves alternately a hymn to Christ as God. When these things were performed, it was their custom to separate and then to come together again to a meal which they ate in common without any disorder. We know the day the early church broke bread was on Sunday, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Acts 20, verse 7. Justin Martyr, 140 A.D. Justin's apology was written at Rome about the year 140, only 44 years after the Apostle John received the vision of the revelation at Patmos. In chapter 67 of his first apology, entitled Weekly Worship of the Christians, writing to the pagan emperor Justin, states this: "We bless the Maker of all through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Ghost. And on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place, and the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then, when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things. Then we all rise together and pray as we before said. When our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought. But Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly, because it is the first day on which God, having wrought the change in the darkness and matter, made the world, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead." Antinician Fathers, Volume 1, page 185 to 186. Dionysius, the Bishop of Corinth in Greece, A.D. 170. Dionysius was the Bishop of Corinth, the church which Paul raised up and which he gave the command about Sunday collections in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, which I read to you earlier. He says this: "We pass this Holy Lord's Day in which we read your letter from the constant reading of which we shall be able to draw admonition." Eusebius' Ecclesiastical History, chapter 23. Ignatius, the third bishop of Antioch, who died in A.D. 108, wrote this: "If therefore those who were brought up in the ancient order of things have come into the possession of a new hope, no longer observing the Sabbath, but living in the observance of the Lord's day, on which also our life is sprung up again by him, let us therefore no longer keep the Sabbath after the Jewish manner and rejoice in the days of idleness. For he that does not work, let him not eat. Let every friend of Christ keep the Lord's day as a festival, the resurrection day, the queen and chief of all days of the week." Epistle of Ignatius to the Magnesians, the Antinician Fathers, Volume 1, page 62 to 63. Tertullian of Africa wrote around AD 200 in his apology. Chapter 16, Tertullian says this: "We solemnize the day after Saturday in contradistinction to those who call this day their Sabbath and devote it to ease and eating and deviating from the old Jewish customs, which they are now very ignorant of. Others, with greater regard to good manners, it must be confessed, suppose that the Son is the God of the Christian, because it is a well-known fact that we pray towards the East, or because we make Sunday a day of festivity." The Antinician Fathers, Volume 3, page 123. Emphasis added. End quote. Okay. Those are all historical references to Bible believers that Christians in the churches that the apostles started that kept the first day of the week after the example of the New Testament. Amen? So when you look at those, you've got to understand that those are all examples of following the New Testament order of things before Constantine came around. So given the instructions from the biblical instructions that I gave you, the understanding from the Bible, from the Word of God, what the Bible says about that, from the beginning, the New Testament Christians, and then to the historical accounts, I think the argument is very simply laid that God's people are not commanded to observe the Sabbath. They are instructed to observe the first day of the week. So, right, exactly, Mike. Good point. But so I hope I laid that out for you, and I hope, and if you have friends that believe in keeping the Sabbath day, they are Hebrew roots people, and if they believe that they keep the Sabbath, if they believe that that's what they're commanded to do, and they are under that bondage, and they believe that they are not allowed to do certain things and all those other things, then show them what God's Word says. Show them what the examples of the Scriptures are. Show them what the Word of God plainly states, plainly shows. Show them that. There's enough Scripture in here for anybody to be able to see this. There's enough Scripture in here, plainly, that you would be able to see this, that you would be able to instruct them and teach them what the Bible says about that, and try to encourage them. Because, see, it only starts with the Sabbath day, then they pull people into all the other things. So you have to be careful with that. It tends that they're dragging you back into the types and shadows. It's not necessary. We worship Christ according to spirit and in truth. That's who we worship. We no longer have to observe the types and shadows. What Christ did tell us to do is to remember Him in the Lord's Supper. Remember His death. In baptism, we show the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a picture of outward picture of what inwardly happened. It's an identifier. But no, we are not commanded to go back into the Old Testament and observe any of those things to try to make ourselves like the Jews. And though that's what people are doing. It makes them feel more spiritual. It makes them feel like they're right. They're more right. Listen, friend, I know you want to feel something. You want to feel closer. You want to feel, I understand that, but get to know Jesus Christ better. Get to know the love of God better. Draw in closer to Christ. Draw in closer to learn of Him. If you want to see the glory of God tomorrow, I'll be preaching a message tomorrow night. Back in the book of Acts, chapter 7. My next message in Acts chapter 7 is going to deal with what Stephen saw when he looked into heaven. I want to talk to you about the glory of God and about Stephen's vision. That'll be fun. I'll preach that, and then we'll put that online later. Pastor Cooley, what are the consequences as Christians ultimately for this transgression? Well, I don't think that if you're keeping the Sabbath in order to be saved, if that's what you're depending on, then you're not trusting in Christ's finished work. If you're keeping the Sabbath like these Galatians did, or they were observing circumcision in the law, it's because they got tangled up. Okay? They got tangled up. There's Christians that go astray, all right? There's Christians that go astray. Peter did. Peter got carried away with the Judaizers for a while. Paul had to withstand him to his face, and Peter had to repent. So I believe people, they need to repent of that. Now, if they want to observe some feast or something or whatever, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go to hell for it. But if that's what they're trusting in, then they're in trouble. So lots to think about here with that. I think I might teach you, I might go in tomorrow to the Seventh-day Adventists, the SDA Sabbath keepers. I might go into that tomorrow and teach you their version of Sabbath keeping. I might do that. Amen? We might go through that. I might teach you on that. But we'll see. But amen. Focus on Christ. It's there's some amazing things in the Word of God. There's some amazing things in Christ that you need to look at Christ. You need to see the face of Christ in the Scriptures. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Don't look to the Sabbath, don't look to the law to justify you. Don't look to your own sanctification. Sometimes God's people have their eyes more on their sanctification than they do on the sanctifier. And God will send us uncomfortable feelings. Sometimes we trust our emotions and our feelings too much as Christians. And not enough in Christ and Him alone. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm saying what happens is we get self-dependent on our emotions and everything else and our feelings. So, you know, then we get in trouble. So we gotta, God allows us to have uncomfortable feelings. And anyway, sometime I might write this on my way home, Saturday, on my way home, I want to preach a sermon on God's gift, thorns, God's gift delivered by Satan. That'll be an interesting one. So we'll maybe preach that one when I get back on Sunday. That Sunday that I preach when I get back in town. But let's see. I met a lady in my neighborhood that has left the Christian church and now denies Jesus Christ as deity and is in the Hebrew Roots movement, United Israel. It is so sad. Can you send me some information on that group? I want to look into those Hebrew Roots people more, and I'm going to talk about some of their spurious teachings that are out there. Send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com if you would, if you know anything about that group. I've never heard of them, but I'd like to look into it sometime. One Messianic online minister who is a vegan makes himself eat lamb on Passover because of Torah and says it's what Jesus did. I feel bad for him putting himself into bondage again. Yeah. Yeah, that is sad, I'm telling you. I'd like to look into some of their doctrines and maybe talk a little more about them. Amen. That is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Okay, good. Let me take a look at that. I'd like to see that. Let's see. Anything else I can think of before I get out of here? And I got to go run on my elliptical, go do some running with my son, get a good workout in, and is there a burden to keeping the commandments today? Well, the Bible says that God's commandments are not grievous unto us. And what are His commands? That we love the Lord thy God, and we love our neighbors ourselves. Love is the command of God. So His commands are not grievous unto us. So, I think there's a difference in which commands, what commands, which ones. God is watching you. Finally, I always miss the live stream, and here it is at the end. Go figure. Well, how long have you been listening to us? Let's see. Yeah, I know the Kabbalah stuff is pretty wicked. That's where the Big Bang came from, is the Kabbalah. Anyway, so that'll be interesting, to say the least. Let's see. I haven't seen anybody else on here asking too many questions or anything. Excuse me. Oh, let's see here. Only about a month, but happy to be here nonetheless. All right, about a month. Great. What was the first video that you saw? God is watching you. What was the first video that you saw from us? I'm just curious. By the way, don't forget to share some of these videos. Like, share, subscribe if you haven't to our channel. I'm sure most of you are subscribers over here. But if anybody isn't, please like the video. We got 40 likes right now. There's 71 people on. If you guys would all hit the thumbs up on that and hit the like button on that and get the likes up to that 70, that would be great. Well, amen. Just think about those things. You think about those things and make sure that you don't come into any bondage. God bless you. Shalom, shalom there. God bless you. I'm happy to know it's a blessing to you. And I certainly don't... I certainly know that we all can... be led away. We can all look. I don't think I have all the answers, okay? And I don't think that I cannot be deceived. There have been times in my life where I've had an overreach in certain areas, of sanctification, even just an overreach. And God has humbled me and brought me back over into more like reality, and showed me what true evil is. What true enemies, who true enemies are in that case, and that we have to try to be careful about going too far, wanting to be right and going too far in the other direction. You know, what time do I start? Tomorrow I will start at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. we will start. Well, shalom, we all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need Jesus Christ. And that's why we cling to Him. And that's why we ask for His righteousness, and His strength. Okay? We all fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. Listen to my sermon, if you would. Let me show you what I think would help you. Let's see. Not the Jeopardy music. That won't help you. Let's see here. Let's see here. Right here. I think this sermon would be a blessing to you. Right here. There's two parts to this. How to lay aside the sins that does so easily beset you. This deals with laying aside sins.
Weights in the Christian...
And laying aside the sin that does so easily beset you. This is part one, and then there's a part two. I don't know where it is. I don't see it on here unless he's editing it or something. But there's a part two to this. If you'll listen to this, you know, then it'll be a blessing to you. It'll help you and teach you how to lay aside besetting sins in the Christian race. In fact, listen to the whole Christian race series. It'll be an encouragement to you, I believe. Let's see. At an impasse, Glad says this. Glad I caught this lesson from the start and we'll watch it again. Haven't caught a live show in a while. Thanks. Hey, how long have you been listening to us? By the way, if you're on here, there's 62 of you. Oh, thank you for liking it. It's up to 52. Praise the Lord. If you haven't commented on here, comment on here on the thread if you can. And just say hi and let us know how long you've been listening and everything like that and where you're from. I appreciate that. I like to learn about our friends all over the country and people that listen to us. That's encouraging to me that there's people out there that are listening and that they're blessed by the teaching. And, you know, I hope and pray that that you would let us know. What do you make of Christ-like Savior Monarch scene drawn in the front piece of Thomas Hobbes' 1651 book, Leviathan? I don't even know what that is. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about, I guess. I don't know what that is. Sorry. Somebody asked that question, and I have no clue what that is. Let's see here. Okay, God is watching you. Here's the thing. I start at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Okay? And it's 2 to 4. Usually it's 2 to 4 Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday, 11 to 1 p.m. But this week, I'm doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday because I'm going out of town for vacation with my family for 10 days, 11 days. I'm getting out of here for a while. Danny Callahan from Amarillo, Texas. Let's see. Northwest Ohio, Eric Oman, Northwest Ohio. Been listening for a month or so. Hey, I'm going to be in Ohio, Cincinnati area. This weekend, I'm going to the Creation Museum and the Ark. I'm going to take the family. Grandma and Grandpa want to go see that. And so we're going to swing through Cincinnati on our way down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And that's what we're going to be doing. So, I'll be in Ohio, that part of Ohio anyway. Let's see, who else on here? Dallas, Texas. The first one was about fake tongues or LGBT Pride Day. Watched two videos my first day. Believe those were the topics. From the mountains of North Carolina. John Worley, I'm going to go to that Buildmore House, or whatever you call it. Buildmore House. I'm going to be in North Carolina, but I'm only going to go into Asheville. Christine Sinclair, you've been listening for a long time. You've been friends of our ministry for a very long time. I remember you from years back. Biltmore, that's it. Biltmore. Rogers, Arkansas. Wow. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1 year. C.S. Lewis series. That's the one that got you. That one got everybody. The C.S. Lewis, man. I had so many people listen to that. That was the first. I mean, it wasn't the first big one that I had. There were other ones that were out there. That was the first huge one that I had. That people. Oh, you live near Asheville. Well, hey, if you want to come say hi to us, we'll be at that Biltmore House. So if you want to come say hi to us, we're going to drive there one day and be in that whole area. Stop by and say hi. Let's see, Creation Museum. Yeah. It is a great place. We've been there before. It's been 2017 we went there. January of 2017 we went there. Well, hey, John, I'm going to be over there. I'm going to be in Asheville. I think that's where I'm going to be, so swing by and say hi, man. We'll be around. Tryon, North Carolina. British Columbia, Canada. I'm always amazed how many people watch us in British Columbia, in Canada, in all of Canada. We have a lot of people that listen to us in Canada. Wow. I'm going to be there like around a week from tomorrow or Thursday, one of the two. A week from Wednesday or Thursday. I'm going to be there. Or we're going to be there, I should say. New Brunswick, Canada. Arizona. Wow. I'd like to go to Canada sometime. I just can't bring my guns. I have to leave them at home. Let's see. Well, interesting. Lots of people from all over the place. Carl's not from anywhere. He's just like from nowhere. Watching from Scotland for 5 years. Ross, yeah, you've been around for a while. I know that. I remember you. Fayetteville, North Carolina. Been listening a little over a year, and the first one I saw was on Disney. Megan Staley from Fayetteville, North Carolina. How far is that away from where I'm going to be at? Let's see. In the middle of Phoenix, a little south. Wow. Hard to believe, isn't it? This internet has brought everybody together like that from all over the place, from everywhere. Every time I talk to Carl, he's in some other place. I don't know where. I can never keep track of where he's at. Tane Rizal, Philippines. 2070. First sermon was Hollywood Satanic Roots in Disney. Carl forwarded to me when we met. Wow. That must have been an interesting date. Hey, by the way. It's part of this date. Here, listen to this guy. At an impasse, where are you in Illinois? I'm curious where he's at from. Carl's like Carmen San Diego. He is. A couple hours from Fayetteville. This confirms traveling in the U.S. without a gun. Well, not me, it doesn't. Wow, Disney was the eye catcher 4 months now from the Netherlands. Wow, from the Netherlands. Oh, man, you threw away Minnie. I've always been said I've kicked everybody's Mickey and punched everybody's Donald Duck. Well, the Baptist History Tour in the UK is supposed to be September of 2021. So, September of 2021 is when I would be visiting. That's when I would be visiting the UK. So, we'll see how that goes. We will see how that goes. Her Mickey got kicked too, man. There's a lot of children across the world that are upset with Pastor Cooley right now. You know, I don't know if that's Scotland or not. Let me see. Let's see. Here it is. Let me look at it here. Mark the dates. Let's see here. Meet in London to visit such sites as Spurgeon's Church, John Bunyan's grave, the British Library, the site of Sir William Wallace's death, the Smithfield Baptist burning site, the site of the old Newgate prison, the London Tower, the Lollards Tower, visit to central England to visit the General Baptist sites, Andrew Fuller sites, the Pilgrim sites, then fly to Italy to visit the Waldensian valleys hidden high in the Croatian Alps. The cave church, and one whole day of sightseeing in the Alps. No, it doesn't look like we're going to Scotland at all. Aaron, yeah, I know you quite well. I don't know if I could, like, stay there and, like, get different flights. If I could, I don't know how it works in Europe because I've never been there. But if I could fly from, like, England to Scotland, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works. So I have plenty of time to figure that out. I'm not going to the Vatican, though. I don't have an invite there. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, right. Going to the Vatican. Is it easy? I don't know how easy it is, but I would do it. I would fly to, I mean, I'd fly over there. I'll preach at your church. I mean, I don't know how it works over there. You know, if it's like here, I don't know. Hey, that'd be cool. Could drive me around Scotland. That'd be cool. Yeah, I don't know how it works. I mean, who knows how the Lord will provide the money. I mean, somebody already sent me some money to go there. So I'm saving it. I'm not spending it, obviously. It's going to be saved. Oh, no. I don't think it's legal for me to preach in Vatican Square. I do not want to end up in a Vatican prison. They do bad things to Baptists. They do really bad things to Baptists. They do bad things to Baptists. I don't think my wife wants me to go to the Vatican either. You stay away from the Vatican. Oh. Stay away from the Vatican. I just want to eat Italian food. I want to eat Italian bread and swell up like a big fat balloon. I bet you their food over there is good. Man, I bet it's good. Yeah, I don't want to be in a prison in Italy really that bad. Or the Vatican. I already made the bishop of St. Paul, Archbishop of St. Paul, that was appointed by Francis. I already ticked him off. I did a video about him. I already made that guy mad. I don't need to make anybody else mad. Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember that, Lisa? I already made that guy mad. I don't need to make anybody else mad like that. All right, I've been on here too long. I got to get off here, but... Well, the Pope wouldn't be looking for me, but all his buddies would if they found out who we were. They probably already know who I am. Somebody said that to me one time. I bet those guys know who you are. Ah, come on. Little old me in Northfield, Minnesota. Well, there's Kanye looking all weird with the eye. No, I don't want to go to the Vatican. I'd rather go somewhere else. There's other people that need the gospel in Scotland and England and, you know, even Italy, the UK, you know. So, I mean, there's all over the place. Anyway, all right. Well, everybody, I'm going to take off because I'm going to be back with you tomorrow. So you're going to get sick of me if I don't get off here. And I got to go run with my son. Run with my son. That rhymes. We got to go run and get ready for workout and get ready for... tomorrow, and then get ready for the next day. We're leaving in the morning, so we got to get everything kind of ready at home and all that good stuff. So you pray for us. God bless you all. We'll talk to you real soon here tomorrow, Lord willing.